In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Every year I come for the graduation and confirmation to Mary Immaculate Queen Church. It's always a little bit of a different circumstance. And this year, we know how early we celebrated our Lord's resurrection, Easter. So we've had Pentecost just 2 Sundays ago. And when I think of Pentecost, I think of how God, in his infinite wisdom, arranges everything in the world. It was the Old Testament feast of Pentecost. Jews from all over the world were in Jerusalem. And it was on this day that the Holy Ghost descended upon the apostles. When I think of the apostles, I'm always reminded of how Jesus, our divine Savior, wanted to show that his church was not the work of man, but the work of God. And therefore, he chose for his apostles men they were unqualified, on a human level, unqualified for the task, simple fishermen from Galilee. And from this, we know how providential it was that when the Holy Ghost descended upon the apostles, and they began to preach to the crowds, 3,000 were baptized at first Pentecost. The Holy Ghost was with the apostles, enlightening their minds and strengthening their wills. They were able to speak, and everyone from all over the world understood them in their own language. God gave the gift of tongues so that the faith could be rapidly spread throughout the world. Whenever I travel around the United States and in other countries, I marvel that what I see all began with simple fishermen. This is indeed, the Catholic Church is indeed the work of God, not the work of man. I have to smile at sometimes the people I encounter. Our Lord commanded his apostles in the Gospel of St. Matthew, "Go make disciples of all nations, and I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world." All nations. About a year ago, we had a family from South Dakota move to Omaha. They're Sioux Indians. Very simple, humble people, but with really fascinating names. I see you have here in the pulpit your parish bulletin, and I'm sure that Father has put in here the Mass intentions. Well, I had a Mass intention for a fellow, his last name was called Sitting Bear. Pretty cool, pretty neat. And I was filling out a sacramental certificate, and one of the names was Little Thunder. And you know, I began to think about that. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a wedding? And I'd say, "John Big Cloud, will you take Mary Little Thunder for your lawful wife according to the rite of our Holy Mother Church?" I do. "And Mary Little Thunder, will you take John Big Cloud for your lawful husband, according to the rite of our Mother Church?" I do. It's a wonderful thing to see the reality of what began with the apostles on that Pentecost. I was recently in April up in Canada, and there are many people from Poland. We had a lot of confirmations there. Many of them were from Poland. They immigrated to Canada. And it was wonderful to hear them. They have a very heavy English accent. And to just kind of relate to them where they came from and their deep faith. And talking about Poland and Polish people, I had a wedding last September in Denver. And you know, when you have a wedding, you don't want to mess up anyone's name. And the fella, I knew him as Greg, I didn't know his last name, and I knew the bride, I knew her very well, many years. But Greg, I just, nice fella, just met him. And I'm saying, Greg, you know, this name, your Polish name, has so many C's, Z's, and consonants. I have no clue how to pronounce this name. And his dad was there, too. So I said, I'm going to keep it simple. Kazmarski. Got it. I'm going to write it as I write it down as he just said it. And I shook my head. He says, why can't you have a simpler name like Pivarunas? I mean, that'd be a lot easier, don't you think? A little bit more vowels in that name than all these C's and Z's there. But it's a wonderful thing to see the faith throughout the world. I was just in Mexico for Bishop Davila's 25th anniversary. In 1999, I consecrated Bishop Davila, and Bishop Dolan was assistant. He was co-consecrator. They had a pontifical high mass, and because there were so many people there, they couldn't have it in the church, so they had it outside the church. They put up a pavilion, set up an altar, beautiful mass, wonderful choir. They had a reception. They had a slide showing, and there were so many congratulations given by so many priests and people that I thought, at the end, they wanted me to say something. So I was thinking in my mind, you know, these people have heard a lot of congratulations. I better keep this really short. So I got up and I was saying, Dear God, Holy Ghost, please enlighten me to say what I need to say. So I first of all thanked all the people. There were over between 500 and 600 people there, thanking them from coming all over Mexico to honor their bishop. I actually wanted to get them a little bit woke up from all the talks. I said, who is from Veracruz? I hear you come 16 hours away. And I said, please stand up. And they all cheered. Who is from Chihuahua? And who's from Torreon? And who's from Juarez? And who's from Acapulco? And started naming off these places. They all stood up and cheered. I was going to say, I'm going to keep it simple. So I said, we also have the slides of the consecration. Bishop Davila had black hair at that time. And now he has gray hair. So I said, please take it easy on him. And they smiled. And I told the seminarians there, there were quite a few seminarians, I said, remember, you're the future of the church. As time goes on, you have to carry the torch of the faith. And then I said to the parents, it's being translated, obviously, I don't speak Spanish. But I said to the parents, I said, the most important gift that you can instill in your children is the faith, that firm belief in all that God has revealed. I said, that's going to guide them through life and help them get to heaven. And then without needing a translation, I yelled real loud, Viva Cristo Rey. And I can honestly assure you, without any hesitation, these 500-600 people yelled, Viva! I mean, just like a thunder. That was the cry of the Cristeros, the cry of that long live Christ the King. I'm sure many of you are very familiar, but there was a revolution that took place in 1915 in Mexico. In 1917, anti-Catholic laws were passed against the Catholic Church. In the 1920s, President Calles put those into practice. He enforced those anti-Catholic laws. Priests caught offering mass wearing vestments would be executed, and they were. Prior to going to Bishop Davila's consecration anniversary, I had ordination and confirmations in Mexico. And Father Gerard, he comes with me to help translate, and he was pointing out, he said, at that church there, we just drove right by, he said, that church right there, the priest was offering mass, and the federale came out and pulled him out and executed him right in front of the church there. It's one thing to read about it. It's another thing to see the places where all this took place. If you ever go to Mexico, and extensively go to Mexico, you'll find that there are places that are, that's the police station, or that's the soldiers' place where they stay, the residence. It looks like a monastery, it looks like a convent. You know why it looks like that? Because it was. The government confiscated the monasteries, confiscated the convents, confiscated these things during the 1920s. And the amazing thing is that the people persevered in the faith. They were strong in the faith. In the Church of Guadalajara, the cathedral, there are two laymen buried there. Their hands were cut off as a punishment for printing catechisms. They were doing this quietly, secretively printing catechisms so that the parents could instruct their children in the faith, and that was outlawed as well. When we think of our faith, we think of how the apostles, these simple fishermen, as our Lord had foretold and commanded them, go teach all nations, they did exactly that. They spread the faith throughout the world, and they shed their blood in testimony of that. In the first several hundred years of the church's history, they were like 11 million martyrs. 11 million martyrs. But we don't have to go too far back to know that there were martyrs in the 1920s just south of us in Mexico. Father Michael Pro, who was shot crying out, "Long live Christ the King." So for our confirmandi, for our graduates, and for all of us, let us remember the importance of not just being Catholic in name, but living our Catholic faith every day, keeping God's commandments, avoiding occasions of sin, praying our prayers every day, receiving the sacraments fervently. My dear friends in Christ, we live in a very, very dark time. The world has become very perverse, and how important it's going to be for all of us not to be remiss or lax or lukewarm in the practice of our faith. We might go through a test in the near future for our faith. How important it is that we establish ourselves spiritually now. Remember our own weaknesses. We're all human. We all have temptations. And let us remind ourselves that what we cannot do by ourselves, God's grace can do that. How good God has been to us. We have the gift of the true faith. We belong to the true Church of Christ. We have the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We have our Lord's divine presence on our altars. Jesus has given us his own mother, the mother of God, for our own spiritual mother. There's so many wonderful things that the church provides for us, and how important it is that we utilize those things. After the Mass and the sacraments, our prayer life, praying your rosary every day. Don't let a day go by without praying your rosary. Wear your scapular. Wear the scapular, the sign of your love and consecration to the Mother of God. Talking about scapular, I'd like to tell you a little story about scapular. I got enrolled in 1966 after I made my first communion. And there were an awful lot of kids who made their first communion that year, a ton of kids. We had our grade school had 1,000 kids in our school. And it was interesting because they had two types of scapulars. Some brown scapulars had, for the string, it was brown for the boys. Some brown scapulars had white for the girls. And somehow, I was at the end of the line, and I'm going up to get my brown scapular, and I look, and they're running out of the ones with the brown for the boys. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get a girl scapular on me. This is like, I was just... The thought's going through my mind. Come on, Father, couldn't you count? Sister, why don't you tell Father how many boys and girls there are? I'm going to get a white scap. I'm going to get one of those with my cord, and it'll be a girl's scap. If I get one, I'm stuffing it down my shirt as fast as I can. But fortunately, relieved to me, I got a brown one with the brown cord, and I was like, yes. I also have to smile. This is my freshman year in high school. Went to one year for public high school. I was in mechanical drawing or drafting class, and there were some really rough characters. South side of Chicago, people were, you know, really, really rough. You had to learn how to fight to survive in that school. And there's this kid in front of me, leather jacket, mop of hair. I mean, looks like he could belong to a gang. And I'm trying to figure out kind of this, how to put this, lay this thing out in this mechanical drawing project. And I'm kind of thinking, and I'm looking at the back of his leather jacket, and something is sticking out of his leather jacket. And I'm thinking, that looks like a brown scapular. So I took my ruler, as a triangular ruler with all the different types of scales on which side, and I poked him. And I said, "Is that a brown scapular you're wearing?" I said it real loud. And under his breath, he said, "Yeah, I don't want to go to hell." I want to tell you this. Well, I hope he saves a soul. But if you ever read the book, The Glories of Mary, by St. Alphonsus Liguori, the wonderful stories after each section where St. Alphonsus talks about an aspect or prerogative of Our Lady, he always includes some very, very consoling stories in there. Very consoling stories. How Our Lady, the little you do for our Blessed Mother, how much she gives in return. And so let's never forget Our Lady's powerful intercession. Why does Our Lady love us, and why does she love souls so much? Because Our Lady stood at the foot of the cross. She knows the price that Jesus paid to save us, to redeem us. And I would like to encourage all of you, carry scapulars with you, carry rosaries with you. And when you have a chance, pass those out to people who are open. You might run into somebody who's a Catholic, perchance at the store, at work, maybe on a plane. Give them a scapular. Give them the rosary. Our Lady will certainly look down upon them with love and pity and mercy, and maybe bring them around spiritually. There's been a lot of wonderful stories of conversions, not just in the past, not just in the book of St. Alphonsus Liguori, the Glories of Marys, but even today, conversions starting with just that brown scapular or that rosary. Let us remember Our Lady's words to St. Dominic: one day by means of the rosary and the scapular, the world will be saved. Our Blessed Mother is our powerful mediatrix before the throne of God. So on this occasion of confirmation and graduation, we congratulate those to be confirmed. We congratulate those who graduated. We pray God blesses you and Our Lady watches over you. And just remember how important it is to stay strong in your faith. This is what will be your guiding light in this world and help you to reach eternity and the happiness of heaven. Remember, be a good example to all those who see you. As Jesus said to his apostles, let your light shine before men. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.